doesn't it? I mean, everyone in the commercials are smiling, right? Especially the ladies when they get that big diamond necklace. I mean, they're smiling, right? Or the guys when the brand new truck pulls up, they're smiling, right? Christmas, that's what the commercials are telling us, that Christmas makes you smile. Of course, all the kids are thinking about the toys they're going to get, how fun it's going to be to rip them open. Everybody wants a puppy, you know, like, nope, no puppies. No puppies. I opened some Christmas presents yesterday. Yeah, I got an early start. You know, it's so funny. We thought, we had this idea. I would like to surprise the widows. Our widows were meeting yesterday, having their Christmas party. I want to surprise them, right? So I want to get them something. I want to bless them. I want to love on them. And so Melissa and I did, and we walked through the doors, and they were excited to see us. We sat down. We had some candy and good stuff, you know. And they're like, hey, we got something for you, Pastor. I was like, oh, okay. So here, my heart, when I was getting them something, my heart was loving. My heart was, I mean, I wanted to bless them. I just want to love them. You know, I had a pure heart when I was buying their presents, right? I go to open their presents. The first one I opened up was a paper calendar. Okay, somebody's being cute, right? Because I might have made a comment in the past that paper calendar is outdated, right? Opened up the second one, paper calendar. Oh, it gets better. I opened up the third one. You guessed it, it's a calendar. But it was a cat calendar. Like I said, I just had pure love in my heart when I was buying their gifts. I don't know if I saw the love right then when I opened the cat calendar. I left there with, I don't know, about 8 or 9 calendars. The funny thing was, every one of them had they put their birthday on the calendar date. And so it was pretty cute. And so, but it is that time, you know, we have fun. We do things like that. But there's also a little bit of a dark side to Christmas sometimes. You know, you think about the number of holiday movies that show what Christmas does to dysfunctional families. All the relatives get together for Christmas dinner and they're snipping, they're griping, they're fighting. Some relatives come to dinner and they sit in a corner depressed. I mean, just think about it. One of the greatest Christmas movies of all time, It's a Wonderful Life. Think about that for a second. A man who snaps at his kid and then goes and jumps off a bridge, right? That's one part of Christmas. And there may be some of you this morning have felt that way at Christmas time. It's easy to fall into depression at Christmas time. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Well, we don't have money, but we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do this, right? And it's go, 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 go. It's easy to fall into that, but I wanted to say this morning, Christmas can actually be a lot more than just that. It can even go beyond happiness, because the secret to Christmas is a special gift from God. It's called joy. It's something He wants you and I to have. But think about it, joy is a little different for everyone, isn't it? Because for some, joy is bubbling, it's bursting. For others, it's gentler, it's calmer. But for all of us, joy comes from deep within. And this Christmas season, we're hopeful because of what Christmas brings. Emmanuel. We talked about in our class Wednesday night. One of my favorite names of God. Emmanuel. God is with us. What other proclaimed God has a name like that? There's not one. And so we're hopeful for the coming of Christ, for when He returns and takes us home. So because of Christmas, we experience joy no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what we're going through. And just a couple examples for you this morning. We're going to look at Elizabeth and Mary in Scripture. There's a lot of joy throughout the biblical Christmas story, especially early in the story. But one thing I'm here to tell you this morning, you might not like this part of it, but it's important to know that joy isn't separate from pain and disappointment. That's where sometimes we get confused, because we associate joy separate from pain and suffering. And when we're in pain and suffering, it's hard for us to see the joy or to feel joyful in those moments. But there, we can. I'm going to show you how we can do this morning. Luke's Christmas story begins a little bit earlier than Mary and Joseph and Jesus with a prophet named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. Look at it, verses 5 through 7, Luke chapter 1 with me this morning. It says, in the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. So this little short paragraph would have spoken volumes to the people Luke was writing to, his original audience. So we've got Herod, the Roman-sponsored king, keeping the Jews under control. These were difficult times for the Jewish people. And here we meet Zechariah and Elizabeth, both of priestly lineage. And so they were people of note, of stature, right? But also, this was a day where a lot of the religious leaders were corrupt, like the Pharisees, Sadducees. But here's Zechariah and Elizabeth. They're a stark contrast to that because they're not that way. The Bible describes them as righteous, blameless, faithful. And this is especially important in light of what Luke tells us next. Zechariah and Elizabeth are old, and they've never been able to have children. And all of a sudden, that changes when the angel Gabriel shows up and tells Zechariah that his wife's going to have a son who's going to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. So obviously, Zechariah is overwhelmed. He can hardly believe the news, and he's got questions, like many of you and I would. We have a lot of questions if somebody told us that. The angel said, okay, here's your sign. You're not going to be able to speak until the child's born. And so the prophet's left writing and signing to get his words across to everybody else. When it comes to Elizabeth, it seems like she's a little bit quicker to believe the news. And when she believes it when the angel says you would become pregnant. And in verse 25, it says, thus says the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Did you catch that last part? To take away my reproach among people. There's an odd verse right before that that talks about as Elizabeth went in seclusion for 5 months of her pregnancy. So with that verse before and this one that talks about to take away my reproach, it's pointing you, it wants you to see that maybe this had something to do with Elizabeth's disgrace. And the disgrace would be about her inability to have children. She'd been through a lifetime of sorrow, a lifetime of pain, a lifetime of shame, because in that culture, this was a big deal. The children were everything. And so you'd have a heritage, you'd have a lineage, if you had children. But if you had no children, people's asking questions. I mean, obviously, she's probably asking questions about herself. She's asking questions of the other women, and of course the other women are questioning her. What have you done? What sin have you committed? Now you have no kids. You must have done something wrong. And so this shame, she's been carrying this shame, she's been carrying this guilt a lot of her years. Elizabeth, you think about it, her self-worth probably sunk as the years passed, her hope dimmed. And at some point, she and everyone around her would declare that Elizabeth is barren. And branded her with this stigma. So maybe that's why she was gone for 5 months. Maybe she was keeping herself to herself to help have her hope blossom into joy. Or maybe it was to ensure that the pregnancy was indeed going to last. Or maybe she was simply savoring those special days on her own term. But if we were watching this as a movie, We this is where we get some kind of subtitle message like somewhere in Galilee, right? And it would flash over. So when Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, Gabriel makes another earthly appearance, this time to Mary. He's delivering the most miraculous pregnancy announcement of all. Mary received the news gracefully and willingly. But think about it. At some point on, early on, it had to be going through Mary's mind. She had to know the challenges, the disgrace that is about to begin. You see similarities here? Right? Elizabeth has been shunned because she can't have kids. She's walking this. She's walking with this her life. And now we get to Mary. She got great news, but, I mean, let's be honest, who's going to believe her? And so she's going to know she's going to be the butt of all the jokes. Oh, here comes Mary. You know, she's, you know. Even her family's going to scorn her. I mean, this would be tremendously obviously when she was pregnant and unmarried. And how do you make people believe that a baby in your womb is the Son of God? And we get to verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1. It says, "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as a wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." So even Joseph couldn't believe the news at first. It took a visit from another angel to sort his disbelief out. If you think about Mary's journey, it wouldn't have been an easy one. Luke even says in verse 39, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah." So Mary must have heard about her relative Elizabeth, her miraculous pregnancy. And so you know Mary's got to be thinking, okay, if anyone's going to understand where I'm at, what I'm going through, it has to be Elizabeth. So she goes over there, and she was right. And this is where in the story joy erupts. So against this backdrop, so you got this backdrop of discouragement, disgrace, grief, shame. This is what both of these ladies are going through. So against that, the joy comes bursting through for these two mothers as they're able to share together. Look at it in verse 41 and 45. "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your great greeting came in my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" Imagine Mary in that moment. She had to be so relieved, didn't she? Because she didn't know what to do. She didn't know if Elizabeth was going to believe her. She didn't know what was going to be said. And just the relief that had to come over her in that second, in that moment. She didn't have to explain herself. She didn't have to worry about anymore, about being misunderstood. She didn't have to do, all she had to do was say hello, and Elizabeth knew. Even with her developing baby knew and leaped inside of her. Again, this was just affirmation and encouragement that Mary needed. And this is where the joy come in. Did either of their circumstances change? No, Mary was still pregnant, not married. This joy settled in. This is just the affirmation and encouragement that Mary needed. I think a lot of us that just want to be understood and want to be seen and want to be loved. And it seems like Christmas time kind of washes that out, and we're not seen, we're not loved, we're not understood. So her joy comes bursting through, and she sings a song in the next few verses, Luke 46 and 55. She sings a song of joy. Mary does. In one level, it's a celebration and connection in the midst of the miraculous events. But in another level, it's two expectant mothers sharing a deep understanding affirmation that fosters the flow of joy no matter what was happening before. No matter what's coming ahead, they found this joy. And there's a couple points I want us to take away this morning. We won't keep you very long. But there's a couple points we want to take away that maybe we can apply to our experience of joy. And the first one is this. And the first one, you're going to be like, okay, whatever, Pastor. It's okay to be joyful. That's the first one you need to know. You need to hear this morning. It's okay to be joyful. For some of you, it's a no-brainer. Like, duh, Pastor, you spent a lot of time on that one, didn't you? But just stick with me for a second, right? Because some of you are like, yeah, we get that, Pastor. But for others, this is a subversive kind of statement that might make you a little uncomfortable if you really think about it. A lot of you you fall in that spectrum, probably depends on your personal past or possibly your spiritual history. Because we've probably all heard that joy described in contrast to happiness, right? We always usually try to associate the two together. If you got joy, you're happy. If you're happy, you got joy. But one thing you need to understand this morning is joy is not an emotion or a feeling. Joy is not the opposite of sad. It's not the same as to be happy. And that's where we're getting confused. That's why this season has so much to do with joy and happiness. Because the world has their definition of joy and happiness, right? And we understand the world's definition of joy and happiness. And there's not, some of it's not bad. Like joy and happiness, having everybody together, that's great joy and that's great happiness, right? The happiness of open presence, that's not a bad thing. But where the problem comes in is they associate this happiness of that feeling of opening that present, that feeling of getting that new thing, that feeling in that moment, they associate that with joy. What happens when the newness wears off of that thing? What happens? You get the brand new iPhone, the iPhone 16, right? It's so funny. We're back for Thanksgiving. My mom's like, brother, she calls me brother. She's like, brother, you think I need a new phone? I was like, well, why do you say that? She goes, mine's pretty old. I'm like, it can't be that old. Start looking, and she's got the iPhone 6. They're on the 16. That means 10 years ago, she got the iPhone. And they don't even update it anymore. So I was like, Mom, it might be time we update your phone. But that's the truth about it, isn't it? We get so happy about the thing. Until a new thing comes out. And guess what? Apple, every year they're going to make a brand new phone. So you got a little bit, you got 12 months of happiness, maybe not even that, maybe 10 months of happiness before you get sad because now you don't have the newest iPhone. And that's the problem with this time of year. It pushes you towards that kind of happiness where if we don't find that, it satisfies for a little bit, but we understand that that's just for a little bit. The problem is because happy and sad are emotions that are tied to our circumstances. So we get the thing we wanted at Christmas, we're happy. We don't get the thing we wanted for Christmas, we're sad. Right? You see how it's tied to our circumstances? But these two emotions results from what is happening in our lives. We feel happy because we got the great gift. We feel sad because we got a toilet plunger for Christmas. Although it's shaped like a shotgun, we still got a toilet plunger, right? But we allow these things to control us, these emotions, like so other, they're fleeting and they're temporary. But joy is a different story. Joy is possible when we trust who we belong to, and we understand what he's done. Well, joy is possible when we grab hold of that name, Emmanuel, God with us. God is with you if you get the brand new phone. God is with you if you get the toilet plunger. Guess what? He hasn't changed. Your circumstance changed. But he hasn't changed. He's never left your side. That's where our joy comes from. That's why it's okay to be joyful at this time. We can know joy when our circumstances are less than ideal because we believe that God is present and God is control. Look, Mary says so much in verse 46 and 47. It says, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She's still pregnant. She still does not have a husband in this moment. No, her circumstances have not changed, but she realized Emmanuel. She realized God is with me. Yeah, people's going to be talking about me. Yeah, people's going to call me crazy. Yeah, people's going to say, yeah, I cheated on Joseph. People are going to say all these things, but I know my God is with me. Is that enough for you this morning? You know what Mary could have done in a circumstance? She could have let all those little voices steal her joy. She could have let the enemy convince her because of her circumstances. Listen to this. Because of her circumstances, she doesn't deserve joy. Come on, I'm hitting home right now because I know some of you. Because of your life choices, you don't deserve joy. Lord, I failed you last week. I don't deserve joy this week. Lord, you know what I've done in my past. You know, I just didn't live in this. I don't deserve joy. And so we allow the enemy to come along and start chirping at us. And that's why I'm saying this morning, it's okay to be joyful. Some of you, because your circumstances, have been convinced that you do not deserve joy. Let me read you Galatians 3:19. This is a New Living Testament. It says, "Why then was the law given? If it was given alongside the promise to show people their sin. But the law was designed to last only until," look at this, "the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through the angels to Moses, who is a mediator between God and people." But do you see that? He's talking about the law, okay? The law was given so people in the Old Testament could know when they were messing up, when they were making bad choices. We carry that law with us today, some of us, because we know when we mess up. We know when we make a bad choice. We know when we let our anger get the best of us. We know when we fall. And what happens is we hold that law against ourselves. And we think, "Oh, I don't deserve joy. This Christmas I'm going to be all alone. I don't deserve joy." The thing about it is Christmas brings the light that brings the joy. It says, "But the law was designed only to last until the coming of the child." And that child brings light. That child brings joy. We don't deserve it. You're absolutely right. We don't deserve it. We receive it. And here's the second thing I want you to take away this morning. We can choose joy. It's okay to be joyful, and we can choose joy. I know these phrases kind of get overused in our day-to-day, but it's true. Think of it this way. There's a lot of uses for the word rejoice in the Bible. You see it a lot in the Bible. But it's a word we don't use a lot in our culture, right? But maybe we should, because rejoice is a verb of joy. Okay, so it's the action or feeling expressing joy and delight. Okay, so think about back to grammar class, right? A long time ago for some of you guys, but think back. Remember what happens with the words that start with re? And you'll remember the prefix once again, you return to it, right? So rejoice is to return to joy, right? It's a choice. It's an action that we take to return to joy, right? It's return to our source of joy. It's return to Jesus. This is the only way we can find true delight and satisfaction. I believe the process is the same for all of us, whether you're feeling happiness, joy this season, or whether you're not. Whether you're buried in discouragement and everything's not going your way, we can rejoice. We can return. And that's where the re comes in. We must return regularly, daily, consistently to Jesus. Because He's a joy. He's a joy of our strength that's from the Lord. That's where that's why we got to return to Him. That's why rejoicing is our process of refilling our tank, restoring our strength, renewing our spirits. It's us reconnecting with the Savior. And it's possible. And it's in this process that the Apostle James' words make sense to encourage us. In James 1, 2-4, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Count it all joy when you're going through troubles. Listen, the only way you can do that is if you choose to rejoice. If you choose to return to joy. You can be in trials. You can be in the struggles and the battles. And you can live there for a moment. But there's got to be a time you return. You rejoice. Because if you don't return, if you don't rejoice, you're going to be stuck in there forever. And that's where the enemy wants some of you at these holiday seasons, is you remember what you've lost, you remember what you experienced, you know what you're going through, and we start to lose a joy. And we choose to rejoice. Did your circumstance change? No. You just chose to remember who He is. You just chose to remember the gift He's given you. Brother Steve, this morning, our prayer time, he reminded me of a great verse. You know the story of the woman at the well, right? The woman goes to the well, there, Jesus having this conversation. Jesus told her, if you knew the gift of God, if you just knew the gift, you would rejoice. If you just really knew what Emmanuel meant, that He's with you, that He's not left you, you would choose to rejoice. And not choose to stay in your depression. Not choose to stay in the funk that the battle has you in. I got to admit, sometimes the last thing you want to hear when you're hurting is you need to rejoice. Because joy can feel so far away. Or grieving, or depressed, or afraid, or we're in pain, or problems loom. Let me just encourage you, James isn't necessarily just saying be happy about our trials or problems. He's saying we can find joy in them when we see the bigger picture. The bigger picture that God is working for our good in every situation. You may not see it, you may not understand it, but the bigger picture is Jesus. The bigger picture is it starts with the source, which is Jesus. The Psalms talk about this idea of rejoicing so many times. Psalms 13:1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Olin, can I get you to come back up to the guitar for us this morning? So the Psalms, it begins with a painful cry, like we've all experienced. We're in the trial, we're in the battle, we're in frustration, we're in pain. It starts with a cry. But this Israel's cry, this was writing for Israel. They were crying because they're waiting for the Messiah to come back. Okay, it starts with a cry, but they didn't live there. They chose to rejoice. They chose to get out of that. And look where they end up in verse 5 of Psalm 13. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. You see that? I chose to trust you. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. It started with the cry. And understandable, we all do that. God understands. God, this doesn't make sense. God, I'm frustrated. God, I'm in pain. God, I don't enjoy this. It starts with the cry. But there has to be a point where you choose. You see, I choose to trust you in your steadfast. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. It's a choice. It's a choice you're going to choose. This is how and this is where we find authentic joy. This is how we can celebrate in this season as we remember Emmanuel, God with us. Won't you stand with us this morning? We're going to rejoice this morning. This is what I want to do. Olin, can you sing that for us this morning? This is how we're going to end. He's singing, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I want you to choose this morning joy. Would you sing it with me as we close out this morning?